men. This time, I'm going to introduce our speaker of the hour. That's our none other than Elder Elliot Odo, who will be presenting the message from the word of the Lord to us. So let us prepare our minds and our hearts now as Elder Elliot presents the message. Thank you very much.
Good morning, all. Hope you're all doing well. Can you all hear me? Someone could just indicate just the wave or in the chat, just let me know.
You're loud and clear, loud and clear.
Fantastic, thank you. All right, so welcome everyone. Happy Sabbath to you all. That's a greeting that we give each other on this day when we all come together. Although we can't be together at church, it's a shame, but it's nice that we're here. So I wanted to first give opportunity to Sister Kaylee. I understand that her computer shut down before she was able to do the scripture reading. So Sister Kaylee, if you're ready, I'd like to give you that opportunity to try that again now. I think we may need to just enable her to come off mute if she's not able.
You can go ahead, Kaylee. You can unmute and you can read it aloud.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Can you hear us?
We can hear you.
Yes, we can.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Kaylee. I really appreciate you having the courage to step up and do that for us. Thank you so much. The title of my message today is called The Kingdom. I actually didn't want to preach this message. I had something else in mind, but God's like, no, I want you to talk about this, the kingdom and how to have all things added. And I think he wanted to do that because of the times that we're in. People are really sort of struggling to have things, you know, work for them the way that they would like, given the conditions that we're in at the moment. So we must obey what God instructs us to do. So I wanted to just start with my experience that I had starting around 2014. So that was the year that we got married, Tessa and I, and that was 6 years, well, coming up to 7 years in June it will be. You always have to make sure you know these things offhand, otherwise you get in trouble with your significant other if you don't know these things. So yeah, it was definitely 6.5 years ago. So we got married, and at the time we didn't have our own home. And you know, I was so grateful that Tessa's dad let us stay with him for that year. But of course, you know, there's nothing like having your own place, right? And so the plan was that we were gonna stay there for 1 year, and that was our plan. However, 2014 was a very sort of rocky career path for me. I didn't actually find a job. I'd been made redundant before I'd got married, and then I hadn't found a job until 2015 in the month of August. And then guess what happened? They let me go after a month. So I was like, great. So 2016 comes, looking for work, still couldn't find anything. And then I found a job, and it wasn't necessarily, you know, a career job. It was more something to sort of tide me over in the interim before finding a proper vocation, if you like. So it was, I was there from about, I think it was April, to December. Yeah, April to about December. And that's because I found another position. And I got to tell you, that job was a lot of fun. It was kind of a dream job in some respects, because it was a job where you got to drive cars to and from the airport. There was a compound that was about 7 miles from the airport, and we would collect cars from the airport and drive them back to this compound. And being someone who loves cars, you know, I got to drive, I think I counted, it was 1,031 different cars. And so, yeah, some of them were like my dream cars. So I was being paid to drive cars I love to drive. And that was a lot of fun. I've got loads of pictures that I took of the different ones I got to drive. But, you know, the pay was abysmal. It was actually less than minimum wage I was being paid. Not quite sure how they got away with that, but they did. I was grateful for it because it was something at least I had in my pocket. Anyway, 2017, I don't know if any of you have heard of a program called The Apprentice that you may have seen on TV. And it's basically a competition where people go and they compete for a job. Or I think nowadays they compete and Lord Alan Sugar will invest, I think it's $250,000 into their business or something like that. Anyway, I'm sure most of you probably at least have heard of it. And so there was a guy called Lee McQueen who won in one of the apprentices quite some years ago. Some of you may have heard of him. And he set up a company. It was called Raw Talent Academy. He set up this recruitment company where what he did was he designed a little apprentice day. So it was basically a day you'd start from 9 o'clock to about 5 a.m. and you had to go into this company and prove to them what you could do. And so out of about 600 applicants, I was selected from, they had 18 people there on a day. And so, you know, they offered you this, you know, really promising career. And I thought, wow, it'd be great if I could get in. So I went, I applied, I got shortlisted from 600 people. And then I was, 18, one of the 18, and we were competing for 6 spots. So I got one of the 6 spots, long story short. And so that was great. And so it was all going well. And then about 9 days before my birthday, they made me redundant. I was like, oh man, it was really tough. So 2017 was a really, really rough year for me because that same year, my cousin, who's same age as me, he tragically passed away. He was at a party and unfortunately he was using some recreational substances. He fell asleep and he was in a party, was in a jacuzzi, and he slipped under the water and everyone else was asleep as well. And by the time they woke up, he was under the water and it was too late. They couldn't do anything to save him. And then also that year, my grandfather passed away as well. So, you know, it was pretty, pretty low and rough year for me. Anyway, so 2018, I think Albert and Carol had gone on holiday. I think it was around December time. And so all this time I hadn't found another position. And so it was a time where Tessa and I had the house to ourselves. And I remember coming out the kitchen one day and it was one evening and Tessa was sitting there in the living room. And she was just saying, you know, it's nice to sort of having the place to ourselves. And I said, yeah, it is nice. And she's like, you know, I'd really like to spread our wings and move out. And I wanted that too, believe you me. And it was, we'd been there about 4 years at that time. Now, because I had a bit of a sketchy career history, although I had money in the bank, if we move out of where we were, it was, you know, going to be a bit sketchy in terms of being able to meet those bills. Although Tessa, you know, had a job, I didn't think it was fair for her to have to, you know, support both of us. And so I really wanted something that was more sort of stable and not just watch my savings go do, going all the way down. So that's where we were. So anyway, by 2019, we took a leap of faith. So we went looking for somewhere to go and live. Anyway, the Lord directed us to an area. And so we started looking there and we thought, okay, let's have a look. We found some places that we liked and we found one place that we really did like. And so then we went to go and see it. We put in an offer. They said, yep, great, you can come. And then they pulled it off the market. And we were like, oh man, we really wanted that place. Anyway, good news. Turns out they changed their minds. They gave us first dibs on it. And so we were like, yes, absolutely, we'll take this place. So we moved there to this new town in our 17-year-old car, now 19 years old. I had no job, no connections. And, you know, finally, you know, we had, you know, our own home, which was good after 5 years of marriage. And so from that point on, in just about 28 weeks, from June to December, we experienced the scripture reading that we just heard Sister Kaylee read, that you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. We watched that promise go from the page of our Bible to being our actual visible experience, all things added. So in like 28 weeks, we had a new home, I had a new job. We even went on holiday, you know, we had a new car. We also got pregnant with Amber Pearl as well. Of course, she wasn't born until after the 28 weeks. We don't want a baby before 28 weeks, believe you me. We'll take the 39 weeks, please. And yeah, it was just a great time. You know, even, you know, my character was becoming more formed like Christ, and my, you know, my walk with him was becoming, you know, more fulfilling. But we had all things added. Now the question is, how exactly did this all happen? That's the question. So we're going to answer that today, but let's just pray before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we just want to ask you at this time, just to guide us as you speak to us. This isn't me speaking, it's Lord, it's you speaking through me to all who are listening. And so it's my prayer that you will give an individual message to each and every person who's listening for what you have to say to them individually as a person. So Father, we thank you for this and we pray that you will answer their requests where they have any petitions of you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so the context of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Now, this is a text, we know how to quote it. We probably know it all off by heart. We want all things added, but how do you know how to do that is the question, right? By the end of this, you will do. I promise you that, you will know, you'll be very clear on what to do. So the first thing is seek, right? We're gonna be looking at some texts here as we go. So have your Bible ready. I should have said that to you earlier, but have your Bible ready. And I think the comms team will help out with a few scriptures here and there. If you could put up the New King James Version, if you've got it, that would be great, because that's the version that I'll be using. And I know that that English is English from 400 years ago, but I will make it simpler in today's modern English as I go and explain. So Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus is speaking, okay? And he says, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it shall be opened to you, okay? So that is the words of Jesus. So he's telling us now how to, you know, acquire something. So he's saying, ask. Now, when we ask God by faith, and then he gives it to us, but we haven't received it physically. We've got it by faith. Then what we are to do is to seek. That means you go looking for it, and then you knock, and then it will be open to you, and then you'll have access to it. That's what's going on. But I wanted to give some context for Matthew 6:33. This was when Jesus was speaking. It's when his ministry first sort of opened up, if you like, and he had his Sermon on the Mount. You've all heard of this famous sermon. So in Matthew chapter 5 to verse 7, it's Jesus' sermon that he's giving. And in, so right slap bang in the middle of it is Matthew 6, 33. And what he was talking about in the verses previous was the reasons that we shouldn't worry. That, you know, God has control of everything. He knows what we have need of. And so if we just seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, then all these things that we're worrying about, he'll add them to us. But the question is, how do we seek first the kingdom of God? What does that mean exactly? Because we understand it, we read it, we understand it. What does that mean? Okay, so we're going to look in the Bible, and the Bible's going to answer that for us. I don't need to tell you what it is. You don't need to hear what my words are on this. God will tell us in his own word. So let's look at Mark chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 11 and 13 to begin with, and then we'll just go down. So let's look at Mark chapter 4, okay, verse 11. So it says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking now, and he's speaking to his disciples, all right? So he's saying this to them. He says, so is the kingdom of God, all right? So is the kingdom of God. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong scripture. Mark 11. He said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Because up to now it's kind of like, okay, what exactly is the kingdom? He says, it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, in other words, those who are on the outside who don't know, all things are done in parables. Now, a parable just means it's like when someone gives an allegorical tale with a principle and a meaning, right? So they give some sort of example with, you know, stories and characters and things like that. And so that's what Jesus did. He was actually the master of this. And so he's saying this. I'm going to show you the mystery of the kingdom of God using a parable, right? And he said unto them, if you don't know, this is in verse 13 now, he says, if you don't know this parable that I'm about to tell you, how then will you know all parables? So he's saying, this is the most important one. This is the one that you need to focus on in terms of the mystery of the kingdom of God. This is it, okay? Now, Jesus was, you know, really kingdom focused, right? When you actually look through, we read the Gospels, you see that he was always talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. I actually had a look this morning because I was curious, how many times did he say the kingdom of God? And I looked and I counted 55. Now, I did do it in a rush, so if that number's not exact, then, you know, forgive me. But about 55 times, he's talking about the kingdom of God. So he's all these times he's talking about the kingdom, he's talking about this particular one being the one that if you understand this one, it will help you to understand all the others. All right, so we're still in Mark chapter 4, but now we're going to go down to verses 26 to 29. All right, 26 to 29. So he says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast a seed into the ground. Okay, now, just for time purposes, I'll just tell you this. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 tells us that the seed is the word of God. Okay, and Mark chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that the word was sown in their hearts, right? So it's, we know it's the seed going into the ground. So the word going into your heart, that is what the kingdom of God is, right? That's what the description he's giving using this parable. And verse 27 goes on to say this, and he should sleep. This is talking about a man sowing the seed into the ground. He should sleep and, oops, he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed, that's the word, should spring up, and he doesn't know how. All right, this is why it's a mystery. No one knows. If you sow a seed in the ground and somehow it grows into a tree and then it bears fruit, nobody knows how that happens. We might know the process of how it happens, but we don't know how. How are you putting something in dirt and then it just grows something? No one knows how that happens. It's a mystery, all right? And the word of God, it's the same thing. When the word of God comes into your heart, it grows inside you and it changes you. And also you can apply it to circumstances in your life and it will do the same thing. This is what the word of God will do. And so the verse 28 tells us the earth brings forth fruit of itself, right? So this is what it's telling us. Okay, so we've been told, you've probably heard this scripture before, and this is found in 2 Timothy 3:16. You'll have heard it when I quote it. It says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, some people would argue, well, men wrote the word of God. Yes, men were the instruments used. They wrote it, but they were inspired by God. And if you don't think they were inspired by God, I challenge you to study prophecy, and you will have no doubt that there is no way a human being wrote these words, because the way God puts all these things together is like, that is very clearly God showing us himself through people. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and this is what we want to get to, for instruction in righteousness. We're going to talk about that. You remember the scripture tells us that we're looking at here, having all things added. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the word of God gives us instruction in righteousness. And so we can look, what we're told to do then is to seek God's word, seek his instructions. Okay, we're looking at how to have all things added. Seek his instructions, find out the promises he makes if we obey those instructions pertaining to the things that you need to happen in your life. That's what he's telling us to do, all right? So let's take, for example, let's say you need fulfillment in your life, okay? Or you're maybe not so happy and you want more joy in your life. You just want to feel good, right? You want to feel happy. Well, the Bible tells us, we'll just use this as an example, that in the presence of God is fullness of joy, right? Fullness, like you are up to the brim full of happiness, okay? That's a promise. Now, how about an instruction? Okay, well, the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. Now, if someone inhabits something, or if you're living in somewhere, then that would mean that your presence is there. So if you want God's presence, which has fullness of joy, and he inhabits the praises of his people, then the answer is you praise God. Praise God, and his presence will be there, and you will feel that joy. Don't you just feel good when you're being thankful for something? You know, when someone does something nice for you, you're just so grateful. You just recall something nice someone did and it brings joy to you. You think, oh, that's so nice of that person. Like when I think of how generous people have been with Tesha and I, with all the wonderful things they've brought for Amber Pearl, you know, it just brings me joy. And I just think about that person and I just, you know, offer up a word of prayer to say, Lord, thanks so much for what that person did. Please bless them. And God tells us, he says, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice evermore. David said his praise shall continually be in my mouth. So that's an instruction. I'm just giving an example for if you want joy. And you can do the same thing for anything else. So if it's marriage, you're looking for a marriage partner, maybe a new career or something like that, to overcome fear, addiction, you know, financial challenges, you know, your health, mental health, even all of these things. Second Peter verse 1 and 3 says, according as his divine power, he's given unto us all things that pertain unto life. So everything that we need can be found in the word of God. And so it pertains unto life and godliness. And it's all through the knowledge of him. Now, the Bible tells us that God is the Word, and the Word was with God. You can look that up in John chapter 1 and verse 1. And going on to Deuteronomy chapter 4, this is where Moses says, when he's talking to the Israelites, and they were in the wilderness, he says, "Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do." All right, so in verse 6, he goes on to say, "Keep them therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding." So this is what God was trying to do, all right? To follow the instructions that he does. And he keeps saying it over and over again, do this, do this, do this, and it will be well with thee, because he's giving us wisdom. Now, sometimes we get the commandments and we think to ourselves, you know, I'm not really sure I want to do that one. You know, I remember, I don't know if Sister Lydia is on here, but some of you may remember this when we were youth. Sister Lydia got us a book, all right? And it was a book called Messages to Young People. And I'm not going to lie, and I have to apologize to Sister Lydia. I've never admitted this before. But I got that book. I looked at the title. I looked at some of the subtitles. And I saw some things. I was like, yeah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I closed the book. I put it on the shelf. Because I looked at those things and I thought, these things are grievous. I don't want to do these things. They're not going to make me very happy. I don't want to do that. But the Bible says this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." His commandments, meaning his commandments, they're not burdensome. Jesus said this. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." So when God is saying things to us, he's actually telling us these things because he's like, look, I made you. I know what makes you happy better than you do. And if you'll do those things, your joy will be full. You can find that, by the way, in John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. And you know, the more, it's so true, the more I find in the Word of God and I obey it, the more full my joy is. So I challenge you to listen to the instructions that God gives, and you'll just see how your life transforms and how happy you feel. So Jesus said to us, you know, he says, look, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's John chapter 10, verse 10, if you're looking for it. So we've done the part about seeking first the kingdom. Okay, and I'll summarize this at the end. But he also said, and his righteousness. So what is righteousness? Okay, so Psalm 119 verse 172 has the answer. Okay, it says, "My tongue shall speak of thy word." Now watch this. "For all thy commandments are righteousness." All his commandments are righteousness. Okay, all right. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 25 and we'll bring this together. So Deuteronomy 6:25 tells us, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us." So when it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," it means we do his commandments. That is what would be accounted as righteousness, in the sense of being in alignment with the principle that God has outlined pertaining to the thing it is that you're trying to accomplish, right? We know that righteousness is by faith. We know that, you know, we cannot earn righteousness, but pertaining to, if you want, God has a covenant. When you've got a covenant, there's two parties involved, and there are conditions to promises being fulfilled, and we have to meet those conditions in order to get the benefit of it. Okay, so I hope that's clear. And as you do that, you'll notice the differences in your life. All right, so we've heard of James chapter 1 now, which tells us that, you know, we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that's, you'll find this in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, right? So when you're coming to God's word, you hear it, but you don't actually do anything with it. You're deceiving yourself if you think that you can just claim that promise and it's going to be fulfilled. You're deceiving yourself. So it goes on to say this, and I'm going to paraphrase the rest of it because it's a little bit wordy. So it says, for if a man hears a word and he's not a doer, he's like a man that goes and looks in a mirror and he looks at himself and then he goes away and straight away he forgets what he looked like. But he's saying, if you look at the perfect law of liberty, it calls it, if you look at God's law, God's word, and you continue doing it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of what he says, it says, this man or woman shall be blessed in his deed, right? If you want God's word to be fulfilled in your life, you've got to be a doer of it. So in June to December of 2019, that was like a, you know, a massive sort of breakthrough year for us, right? And, you know, faith without works is dead. It didn't just, all of those things that happened, they didn't just fall in my lap. You know, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom, but he didn't say seek only the kingdom, right? Yes, put the kingdom first, right? However, I had corresponding action to the objectives I wanted to achieve. All right, remember I talked about ask, right? So that's ask, seek, knock, right? That's being a doer of the word. And when you are a doer of the word, the Bible promises us, I believe it's Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17, it says, God watches over his promises, meaning he watches over his word to perform it. So when we obey his word and he sees we're obedient to it, he performs it. And that's 100% of the time. God's word does not go back to him void without accomplishing that which he sent it to do. That's Isaiah 55, verse 11. And so, you know, when we wanted to find a new home, we had to go and look. God said he'll guide us. He says, you know, if you lack wisdom, ask of me and I'll give it to you liberally. So we did that. He also promises us that he'll guide us with his eye. So he guided us to the right town. He guided us to where we needed to be. Then I needed to find a new job. And I actually made a specific request to God about this job in terms of where I would like it to be, how far away from work, from home, and all these other things. And the other request I made was that I wouldn't leave there until I wanted to, right? Because, you know, I'd been made redundant a few times before, and I thought, having, you know, a business and everything, I thought, you know, it'd be nice to not touch any money coming in from the business and just let that grow. And then, you know, I can just live off what comes in from the job. So I thought that would be the ideal situation for me. So I wanted that to be the case. And then, you know, man, it was pretty brutal. There were, you know, a lot of things that happened during the pandemic. And somehow, I don't know why, but, you know, I'm still there somehow. So we went looking for a car. I remember it was, I'm trying to think now. I think it was around December. And I know there's there's someone here who's watching on YouTube who I know will be laughing at this moment, because, you know, our car would always fog up, the old car that we've got, and it would just fog up, and anywhere we had to drive, I had to clear the window before you could move anywhere. And I remember one time Tessa and I were driving it, well, I was driving, and when it would fog up, if it was dark, the other cars coming against, opposite you, when that glare came across the screen, it was hard to come out. And I remember one time it fogged up so bad. When I say I couldn't see anything, I'm not talking about, you know, it was kind of hazy. I could kind of see, but I couldn't see. When I say I couldn't see anything, I mean, I could not see a thing. It got to the point I had to slow down to like 5 miles an hour. People behind me, Tessa had to stick out her head out the window and had to guide me. And I couldn't see what she was saying or if we were going to hit a lamppost or what was around. And she had to guide me to so we could pull over. And then I pulled over. I said, Tessa, we have to get you. We can't continue driving. This is actually quite dangerous. So, you know, God blessed us and we were able to have a new car. But we had to go and look to find that car. Then, of course, you know, we also got pregnant. Well, you know what has to happen in order for that to happen, all right? I know there's children watching, so this is not about to be a rated R sermon. So I'm just going to end that one there. What I can say, the instructions for that, if you're unclear, Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. I can't give any clearer instructions for that. If you need God to give you a revelation on that, then I pray he does, or you could ask me privately afterwards. But anyway, so being doers of the word, Tessa and I had to get to know each other. And yeah, there we go. We have the evidence today. Just making sure you're paying attention. All right. So in conclusion, all right, now I'm going to, if I can, I should have asked if I can share my screen. I'm so sorry I didn't.
Just go ahead. Go ahead. You're able to share.
Okay, all right. So let me go to my desktop here. Just bear with me and I will fire this up. Okay, hopefully you should be able to see this. If I just come. All right, let's try that again. Ah, there we go. Okay. So hopefully you can see that. So this is a graphic that I have made for this scripture, all right? So this is just to summarize here. So first, we want to seek first the kingdom of God. We are seeking his kingdom agenda, and we are to prioritize our time around what he wants us to do. We look for God's promises of what he says we should do, and we look for his instructions pertaining to those promises, and we obey them, okay? We also prioritize our finances around the kingdom and how God tells us to manage our finances, and also within our hearts in terms of the things that we do. We need to prioritize those things. And as we do that, we come to hear all things added. Now, I'm just going to leave that up here while I just kind of refer to my notes here. So I just wanted to make sure I cover everything in my sort of conclusion, if you like. So seek the script, the Bible tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. I've just put some more notes here. I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm just letting it be there so you can sort of look at that as I'm talking. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So that's the instruction we've been given. So we are told to seek first the kingdom. So that's to seek his word, his instructions, right? His promises for any situation. The second thing is to seek first his righteousness, right? Because he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that's two things that you're seeking first. So that's the instructions and the promises that God has made in his word. And so we're to prioritize our time, our money, our resources around those things. And then third is a part you don't have to do. That is the part of God doing the adding. He just adds it. People say, well, how's that going to happen? Don't worry about how that's going to happen. It just does. That's how it works. It says in the scripture, remember we read in Mark chapter 4, says he knows not how. When you sow the seed in the ground, you don't know how it comes up. You just know that it does. Everybody knows that that's how it works. So I remember, some of you may remember a sermon I shared some time ago, and it was talking about the stars. And there was a scripture that I brought out there, which was 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 7, saying that if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and believe me, his hand is mighty, he can do anything. If we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, he will exalt us in due time. Now, the thing that frustrates us is we don't know when due time is. And that can be whenever God says it, it's time. Okay, because the Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. So when God blesses you, he wants to make it so that when you get this blessing, there's not going to be any sorrow. And sometimes that means he has to prepare you, prepare your heart, maybe allow you to go through some difficult times so that you'll be able to appreciate that blessing when he gives it to you. And so that's what he's promising to do. So how do you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? He tells us in verse 7, cast all your care upon him. That's how you do it. You cast your care. When you're trying to take care for yourself, that's when you're being proud. Oh, I'm in control of my life. I can do this. No, that's pride. And the Lord says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. All right. So you want to cast your care upon him because he cares for you. And that's exactly the context of what Jesus was talking about before he says this verse in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Before that, he was saying in verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them, right? And then he says, aren't you better than they are? You're better than the birds. You're more valuable to God than the birds. You know, Jesus came to save us, not the birds. We are more valuable to him. But if he takes care of the birds, of course he's going to take care of us. So then he says, which one of you, by worrying, taking careful thoughts, right? Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, how can you make your situation any better by worrying about it? The answer is no. Then he says, you know, why are you worrying about food? Think about the lilies of the field. You know, they don't, they grow. They don't work, you know, they don't spin, they don't do anything, but yet God takes care of them, right? And so he tells us in verse 31, take no thought saying what we shall eat, what we shall drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed. And then he goes on to say, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In other words, those who don't know who I am, right? That's what they do. They worry, they stress about things. You don't need to do that. So I'm telling you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you're wanting, God will add them to you. You don't need to worry about it. And so the promise is given us in Psalm 84 and verse 11. You know, God is a sun and a shield, meaning he blesses us and he also protects us, right? And it says the Lord will give us grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly, right? So those are those who are keeping his commandments and following the instructions he gives. No good thing will be withheld from you. Job 36, this is the last scripture. Job 36 verse 11 tells us, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. And that's both here and in the world to come, which is the time that we're all looking for. And so my prayer here is that, you know, you have been blessed by the message, and that, you know, you will start to think about what God says about your own situations, and what he promises and what instructions he tells us to do. And let me tell you, he will do the most wonderful things in your life. And you'll be amazed. All right. So I don't care what it is. There's nothing that's too hard for God. I don't care how hard it looks. I remember when I was, without, you know, a job and not much money. And it felt like in that situation that it was always going to be that way. It really did. But, you know, as I started to do this, I remember when I literally preached for the first time the message on 5 verses 5 to 7, I remember reading that and even preaching on it. And then God woke me up the next morning to tell me, yeah, you're doing that, but yeah, sorry, you've preached it, but now it's time for you to exercise it. I need you to take all the things that you're worrying about, give them to me. Let me take care of them. And so therefore, that's what God is instructing us to do. Just follow my instructions. Don't worry about the results. You leave that to me. I'll do it. It will happen in due time. And when it does, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it adds no sorrow with it. So that's me ending for today. And I pray that the Lord has spoken to you a special instruction that he'll have you do. So my last words would be to be hearers, not only hearers of the word, but also doers as well. Amen.
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 Amen indeed. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Elder, for a wonderful message presenting the kingdom for us, which is if we seek God's kingdom first, then all these things will be added onto us. So this should be our sole purpose, especially when we raise our young ones from early age. Point them to the kingdom instead of pointing them to a career first. And we will soon see the difference in our lives because God's in charge and in control. So thank you very much, Elder, for reminding us of this timely message. I invite our Elder to say a closing prayer for us.
My pleasure. Our Father in heaven, I just want to thank you so much for every person that's gathered here today. Thank you so much for bringing them here. And thank you for speaking to them as well. I pray that you'll be with all of those who are on YouTube, all of those who are joining us also on Zoom. And Father, you know the things that they have need of. You know what it is that is pressing on their part, on their hearts. And there's nothing that concerns them that is beneath your notice. So we thank you, Lord, that if you even keep account of the number of hairs on our head, I mean, what an insignificant detail. Why would you need to know that? But you think about these things about us. You say in your word that you have your thoughts about each and every person are as numerous as the sand for each individual. And so, Father, we know that you care so much about us. And though sometimes we're in situations where it seems impossible, you are there and you're mighty. Your hand is not wax short and everything you've promised can come to pass. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And we just want to bear up our petitions before you. And we pray according to your word and the promises that you've given for each and every situation, that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this. And we pray these things in no other name than the name of Jesus. Amen.